This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
I invite you now to follow along as I read from the first scripture lesson today from 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 10. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and he fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away."
The lesson picks up where the scripture reading ended. God said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." This is the word of the Lord. Now admit it. You all are really glad I did the whole silence thing with the kids and not with you, right? There was an earlier draft of this sermon when I set the Bible down up on the communion table and turned around and just looked at you for 5 minutes. You are really glad I didn't do that, because As the kids said, silence is really awkward. It's not a thing that we do, right? We just sat quietly and listened to music together. That's not a thing we do in this world these days. Unless, like, you paid out the nose to go sit silently and listen to music together, right? But you got to do that for free this morning. This is a strange, weird, unusual place that we are. This is one of the places that we actually practice listening. We actually practice listening here, and we have to practice listening because pretty much none of us are any good at listening most of the time. Most of the time, what we're really good at is what? Talking. And when we're not talking, we're really good at reading and watching and doing and thinking about and bringing things up, right, without just listening. When I sit down at home and I have that quiet moment when finally, like, the kids are playing nicely together, which that's a precious moment, right, when that comes up. And what's the first thing I do? I take out my phone and see if anything interesting has happened in the world. And you know what? It probably has, because the world is a strange and interesting and complicated place. But every so often, I actually catch myself as I'm doing that, and I say, no, I need a moment. I need a moment to listen. I need to actually hear what's happening in, well, in the silence that contains this life of busyness and noise and complicated thoughts. I need that moment because it is so counterintuitive. It's so counterintuitive to allow things to happen rather than trying to force things to happen in the world around us. It takes practice for us to enter into silence. But silence does something that none of the rest of that necessarily does. Silence does something that all of the noise and all of the distraction and all of even the faces and voices and important things and activities in the world, silence does something that none of the rest of that does. Because what silence does is it allows us to let go of what we expected. See, when I pull out my phone and I check the headlines to see what's going on in the world around me, I've already anticipated what's going to be going on in the world around me, and I'm making decisions about whether the stuff that I'm seeing is the kind of thing that I want to be looking at right now, or should I go to one of the other 43,000 open tabs and see what's going on there. But silence, or I could use the word listening, forces me to let go of those expectations. And I have to let go of what I'm anticipating in order to hear what's really going on, in order to hear what God is really doing in the world around me. That's where Elijah found himself. He found himself needing that moment of silence, needing that time to listen to what God is actually doing in the world around him, because Elijah knew what to expect. Elijah was a fantastic prophet. He was like the prophet's prophet. He was always confident about everything he did ever because God had spoken to him. You remember a few weeks ago, we had the call of the prophet Samuel, right? And there was this time when Samuel didn't know the voice that he was hearing. He didn't recognize the voice of God. Well, Elijah never had that. Elijah sort of springs onto the scene, fully formed as a prophet. He knows everything all the time. And the most powerful people in the land have to listen to him. He can always speak to anyone, anytime, anywhere. And so, well, He's sort of come to the end of that phase of his ministry. He's come to a place in his ministry. You can read the previous couple of chapters to see what exactly went wrong, but it was bad. He's come to the end of the part of his ministry when he has all of the answers. He's come to the end of the part of his ministry when he always knows exactly what to do and say. And he finds himself on the run, and he finds himself collapsing from exhaustion in the shade of a tree. And it's in that moment that the angels come to support him, to sustain him. It's in that moment that he recognizes that he has not been the one supporting and sustaining himself this entire time. And in case you missed that, you get the second half of the story, when on the strength of that food, he travels 40 days through the wilderness and arrives at Mount Horeb, the very same mountain where Moses had received his call into ministry and later received the Ten Commandments as God's first covenant promises to God's people. And Elijah sees God as well, but he doesn't see God in any of the normal ways you would expect to see God. See, there are ways you would expect to see God. You know, God might show up in an earthquake or in a shattering wind, or God might show up in fire. These were all ways that God had been revealed to the people before. And God is not in any of those. Elijah came to that point in his ministry. We've come to that point in our lives from time to time when all of the normal ways of hearing God don't contain God anymore. When all of the normal ways that we expected God would be speaking to us, that God would be acting through us, that God would be acting around us, none of those ways quite fit anymore. So God has been faithful, and God has walked along with Elijah, and God has cared for Elijah all the way to this place, and now we're not quite sure anymore. And God comes to Elijah and says, "What are you doing here?" That question that just sort of echoed through the silence after all of these things that should have contained God but didn't. God says, "What are you doing here in this silence? Now you're finally ready to listen. Now you're finally ready to hear what God is doing with you and through you and for you." And this is exactly how I experience silence sometimes. When all of the ways that I thought I would see and hear God have kind of fallen off for the time being, when the scriptures aren't speaking to me and the hymns aren't carrying my voice anymore and the prayers are just words that I'm saying, and conversations with partners in my faith are just not necessarily it anymore. Then there's listening. Then there's really, truly listening beyond where I expected God to be, to listen for where God is ready to surprise me this time. But sometimes I have to listen past all of the noise, all of the ways that I normally can feel and experience and recognize God, all of the ways that God can challenge me at other times. Sometimes all of those have to fall off into silence. And sometimes the thing that has to fall off into silence is me. And I have to quit talking for a time. And I have to quit inventing all of the ways that I think God will speak to me and allow God simply to speak. And then, in that strange silence, in that strange voice that you can only hear by not hearing anything, God says, "Hey, what are you doing now? Where are you headed now? What happens next for you?" If you go to our medical delegation's blog, and read the entry from yesterday. This is what the medical delegation experienced. Their first full day in El Salvador is always a day of learning, a day of traveling to tour, to see some of the places that have shaped the lives of the people of El Salvador. They learn the history of the people that they are there to serve and to walk along with. And as Mark writes on the blog, he says, this is kind of a strange step in the process, because you would think we're here to do, we're here to serve, we're here to take care of people. But in order to do that, in order to be fully present and fully in ministry with the people that we're here to serve, the first thing we have to do is listen. The first thing we have to do is listen. Not so much to the words and not so much to the sights and sounds. We have to listen to the experience that the place embodies. This is what it is to be truly in ministry, to be truly in service with God's people in the world. Not simply to charge in to do, but to listen. To rest in the silence, to rest in the uncertainty, to rest in the time when it's not about our expectations, but it is about the God who speaks to us beyond everything that we might expect. So we listen. So we receive. So we share in the gift of what God provides to us, not because we know exactly what to expect here, but because we know that we don't know what to expect in this life of faith that we share together. We give thanks for God's presence. We give thanks for the presence of God's eternal word that speaks in the silence, in the singing, in the speaking, in the life that we share together. Thanks be to God. Amen.